We're just going to look in John today. Shouldn't have to go a whole lot back and forth of different books, but a few chapters here and there in John, the big John. And do you realize that your obedience to the things that Jesus has spoken, that have been written in the Bible, that we read today, your obedience to those things that he shared actually shows your love to him? We want to love him. We want to show our love to him. He's a good, good father, perfect in all of his ways. He loves us. We ought to love him. But by our love to him, it will show that obedience. And so if you want to go to John 14, you can kind of get to that chapter. And we'll go to 23 in a little bit. But the primary evidence that we love Jesus and are his disciples is by us obeying him. It's our decision to obey is the key to that understanding. The decision that we make to obey is the key to understanding the spiritual reality of the Scriptures and to freeze the Holy Spirit to teach us. We have to have it all in line, I believe, for it to all come together, don't you? I don't think we can have one without the other. I don't think we can have two without the other. We can have all three and be fulfilled, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Each one is there giving us information, giving us things to read and to be aware of. God in the early part, and that we hear of throughout that of the Old Testament and how he shared and talked to the people then. Through that of Jesus in the New Testament as Jesus came, and we'll get into that, to do the things in the will of the Father. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit is to continue us on that path and to really become really more personable with each and every one of us, because we don't have to have Jesus with us right physically like they had in the New Testament when he was walking this earth. We have got something, and he was good, amen? Jesus was good, amen? The Holy Spirit is great because he's everywhere. It's the Godhead in us, speaking to us, leading us. But let's look at this in John 14, 23. It says here, Jesus answered and he said to them, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Oh, man. How would you like to reside with him? Amen. Well, you can. Hopefully you are. If we look at that, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone," in the Amplified, "really loves me and keeps my word," or my teaching, "and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." There's always a opposite of what when Jesus speaks. He speaks of it, do this or this. Or I'll do this if you do that. So what's that? Continuing reading in 24, it talks about this. Now, Jesus says, "He who does not really love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not of mine, but the Father's who sent me." If we don't keep his word, what's that showing him? We don't love him. We don't keep the word of what Jesus shared, where we really aren't really holding much credence to that of God the Father, because we'll go on and find out, as you already are aware of, that Jesus said that the things I speak, the things that I say, are examples of what my Father in heaven is telling me to do. Today we have the benefit of that, because God the Father in heaven now is speaking to us by what avenue? The Holy Spirit. So the God, Father, Dad in heaven speaks to Tim by the Holy Spirit. I can sense when he's talking to me. Do you sense when God is speaking to you? I mean, if you don't, let's get you connected, because I'm going to tell you, when you sense the voice of God and talking into your spirit, it is awesome. It is wonderful. It's uplifting. It's an eye-opener. Yes, and there's times that he's told me things that I need to correct and do and change, but that's okay, because I want to honor him, because I love him. I love Jesus. I want to follow him and be like him as best that I can in this earthly body that still has a lot of craziness and a lot of fleshliness things in it that sometimes goes off and like, that's wacko, you know. But thank God for the Holy Spirit to set us back on that course and to kind of get us thinking again. So, know that your love for Jesus by obeying him. Diligently keep God's word so that his presence will steadfastly abide with you. This is just a little note here. To steadfastly abide with you. Those who love Christ will prove their devotion by their obedience. Here again, after I got into this and I was reading this little article here, devotion. It's like, well, there's that word again. You know, go back on the website and probably the last three or four messages before last week have been tied kind of like around that area of devotion. I really am sensing to the point that we have got to be devoted to the things of Christ, to the things of God. We've got to devote our life to Him. We are in this world and we're doing some wonderful things, and God has placed us here for a purpose and a plan. But to fulfill that and to reach what He has for us, it's going to take a devotion on our part. Amen? You have got to be devoted. Devoted, being dedicated, being loyal. We have got to change our allegiance, not of this world, but I'm serving a kingdom outside of this world, His kingdom. But wherever I go, His kingdom is with me and around me, so I bring that here, you know, but it's only His. And it's just that I'm following and obeying and being led by Him. So we look at that steadfastly, you know, diligently keep God's word so that His presence will steadfastly abide with you. Steadfastly, to be fixed, to be in place. What better way to go through this life than to have that of Christ, that of God, with that through that of the Holy Spirit, that we are being led and taught and directed and being warned of the lies and the things that are out there and the deceptions that come across our path. And I'm not even worried about the deceptions that are out in the world. The world's deceptions are so off the wall that, you know, it would not take, a person that was very smart to understand. Some of the stuff that the world talks about is so far out there, how can anybody believe it? Our concern has got to be that we've got to keep ourselves in tune to that of the Spirit, loving that of God and Christ, and so that we don't get misled by other wiles and things and that are taking place within our churches and the direction that some of our churches are steering towards. There's many churches that are off course of preaching the gospel. Many churches are off course of declaring that of the cross and the benefits of the cross. Many churches are off course, no longer looking at and wanting to even reflect or look into that of the Holy Spirit. They've put a lot of these things onto the shelf, and they really don't want to go into those things, especially that of the Holy Spirit, because there's the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. You got to be open, trusting, and believing. The disciples, looking at John 14, 22 and 23 area there, the disciples were still expecting Jesus to establish an earthly kingdom. That's what the disciples were looking for back then. Is they weren't even thinking about heavenly things and the kingdom in heaven and all that. Heavens, no, they were looking at what? Where they were at. How many of us look right where you're at is where you're concerned about, you know? And when Jesus speaks to you, you might be thinking like, oh, it's for this time, but it might be for another time. It might be for another realm. But anyway, the disciples are thinking, okay, as Jesus is speaking here in John 14, 22, 23, that He's going to establish an earthly kingdom and they're going to overthrow Rome. And they found it hard to understand why He did not tell the world at large that He was the Messiah. Not everyone, however, could understand Jesus' message. Ever since Pentecost, the good news of the kingdom has been proclaimed in the whole world, and yet not everyone is receptive to that. Do you agree with that? We have got that today to where we go out and we share the things of Christ, we share the good news, we speak of these things, we speak about His life and what took place and what's going to come, and people even today look at it as what? That's crazy. I don't understand that. Are you sure? Where are you getting your information? But we're getting it right from the source, amen? God. Through that of Jesus, as we read through the New Testament and read the red, by that of the Holy Spirit, as we meditate and just be before God and ask Him. When you're going through situations, do you go to God and ask Him to give you some enlightenment in it? To hearing that of God, and when you're going through a situation, that you ask Him. I quiz Him. I search Him out, and And then I listen for the things that he wants to tell me, are in my spirit, what I'm sensing. And you have to be there. You've got to get to that relationship. And back then, they wouldn't have understood him as being the Messiah. Matter of fact, when he said those things, the Pharisees and Sadducees were saying he is blasphemy. We get into that, and we share a little bit on last Tuesday or Tuesday's a couple back, in regards to, you know, like the impardonable sin and is there such a way of being ever restored and things of that nature, looking at Hebrews, and then we went through some other areas there. But to look at the denial of, for someone to sit there and say, like they did back then when people were healed, what did the Pharisees and them say of that time? They're being healed by that of the devil. It's like, well, how can the devil, you know, heal himself or answer his own prayer? It's crazy. But they thought that. They give no credit to that of Jesus, saying that as he was speaking and doing, the Lord God, the Father God, showed him to touch those ears, to rub those eyes, to release those demons, to set the captives free, to raise up the lame. Do you think Jesus just saw that on his own and saw somebody laying there and thought, hey, it'd be a good thing. I think I'm going to go over there and touch him and just heal him. He wasn't on his own mission. His mission was only on that by the God telling him what to do, what to say, who to say it to, and to keep on that trajectory of what you're going to be doing. So, yes, the disciples didn't understand the things that even Jesus was sharing back then. Today, we find that same thing. The world is not receptive to the things that we even say. But it says, Jesus saves the deepest revelations of himself for those who love and obey him. If you want the deep revelations of the things of Christ, you've got to love him. You've got to be close to him. You've got to say, oh, you're a good, good Father. That's who you are, Lord. You know, we've got to build that relationship. We've got to be devoted to him and not anything of this world. Let's go into, go back to 2:5, John 2:5. Anyway, coming out of this morning, if we can leave here with this one thing in mind, practice obedience to whatever Jesus tells you, amen? Well, that's where we want to go to 2:5. Now, 2:5, this is the recorded first miracle of Jesus, isn't it? Turning water into what? Wine. And it wasn't just, I don't think, ordinary wine, because you go through and read throughout chapter 2, and it's like, this stuff is really good. Those at the wedding feast had said, or the wedding said, hey, why did you bring out the good now? Usually we start with the good a little bit, and then we end with the bad. Well, we find anyway, we might share a little bit on that as we are led so to be that way. But let's take a look at John 2:5. His mother says to the servants, what did she say to the servants? Whatever he says to do, do it. Now, this is her son. She didn't quite understand his whole dynamics of what he was about. She only knew that he'd been raised with them, and it's looking like his father had passed, so probably it was his mom and Jesus there, and Jesus at that wedding. And let's look at it further. It says here, then Jesus, let's see, 2:5, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says you to do, do it. And it goes on to state that there were 6 water containers of stone. Jesus tells them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And Jesus said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. And we know the story from there, don't we? The best example we have is following Jesus and to do what you see Jesus do. Because he only did what he saw his father do. So I wonder, he saw his father fill those water jugs with the water and said, here, servants, fill these. I don't read anything in my scriptures that he prayed over it, that he did any kind of, here, give me the jugs so that I may hold on to them, so that I can transfer the anointing or my power into them. He just said, Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said, now you draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. They took it. What we're finding here, Mary, she probably was not asking Jesus to do a miracle. She was simply hoping that her son would help solve the problem that they had at the time. Do you have a problem at the time that you call upon Jesus to help you with? Just like back then, that was a problem to run out of wine and at the feast for the wedding. But she was looking at her son to say, hey, could you help solve this problem that I've got? You ever get to that to God? Hey, could you help solve this problem I got? I got a problem. Find some wine. Your problem might be, find some finances for me. Your problem might be, find a job for me. Your situation might be, I need a car. This is broken down. Whatever the case is, we have problems as well. Although Mary did not understand what Jesus was going to do, she just gave him what? Help me find the situation here. Take care of this. So Mary did not understand what Jesus was going to do. She trusted him to do what was right. Do we trust Jesus to do what's right in that in our lives? Do we, you know, we get into this whole thing, and I know he'll do everything right. And then the thing is, he's going to lead us and talk to us and help us through that of the Holy Spirit speaking into our spirit. And that's that trust that we've got to have. So we have that now, but although Mary did not understand what he was going to do, she trusted him to do what was right. Do you trust God to do what is right when you have an insurmountable situation? You know, again, Wayne, your sister last week, the testimony of Terry in the cancer situation. Just the power of that. And the one thing, I went back and I replayed it and listened to it a few different times. And it was just like, wow. Is that a point to where God had said, well, was it like the elephant in the room or something like that? She might have said, what happens if I don't heal you the way you think what you want? And that you end up dying with this cancer. And she said, hey, I'll be with you. There was no downside to that. The world will have a downside. If this doesn't happen, the world says, well, this is going to happen. If you don't get this, then you're going to lose that. You know, in God's kingdom, in the kingdom that we're a part of now, when we go through these situations, whether it's health or finances or whatever the situation might be, that we know that, you know what, Lord, if this thing doesn't come to a healing and restoration here on this side of heaven, you're going to call me home and I'll be healed and restored there. And it'll be good. Amen. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more discomfort. All of these things. And so with what she was sharing, it's like, I get it. It's a win-win. Now, the situation I've shared before where the pastor in town that has had the cancer and was very serious with that, and his whole concept was, well, if they heal me here and you heal me through that of the doctors, good. Go on and keep ministering or sharing whatever you want me to do. But if I die, Lord, I'll be with you. So what's the sorrow in any of that? None. Mary did not understand what Jesus was going to do. She just trusted him to do what was right. You've got to do that same thing. You've got to trust God enough that he's going to do what's right for your situation and where you're at. Those who believe in Jesus but run into situations that they cannot understand, they must continue to trust that he will work it in the best way. I wish everybody here today could say, you know, I prayed about this today, and you know what? By 5 o'clock that afternoon, it was handled and taken care of, and the answer to my prayer was there. But I think a lot of us would say today that I prayed on a particular day, and you know, it was 6 months later before I really saw the answer. 6 years later before I saw the answer. You know, it might have been a decade later I finally saw the answer, whatever the case might be. But even though it's elongated to that point in time, we still have that trust. We still have that devotion to him. We still have that love of that of Christ in our lives. Like Mary, we should submit and allow him to deal with the problem as he sees best. We get out of sorts there at times because we think we know what the answer needs to be. Because we only see so much of the problem, don't we? We don't realize the other part of the problem. We don't understand that my response to that problem might take care of it for a short time, but it won't take care of it for the long time. And so we've got to trust him. So getting back, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says, do it. My words to you today is, whatever he tells you to do, do it. John 5:19, then Jesus answered and he said unto them, most assuredly, John 5:19, most assuredly I say to you, The Son can do nothing of himself, or nothing of his own accord, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son does also, or also in like manner. John 5:19. In 5:16, it starts there, it says this, "For this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus, and they sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath." You broke that law that they always like to follow. "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father has been working until now, and I have been working.' And therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all the things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel.'" So Jesus never acted independently of the Father. He didn't go off on his own desires of what he wanted to accomplish and do. He understood that because he and the Father were one. He did only what his Father had showed him. Jesus' authority then came from where? The Father. The Father's authority was working through him, of that of Jesus. So one cannot honor the Father apart from honoring the Son. You can go through and look in some areas of other areas of the Father leading him. John 5:30 will say, "I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will." Could you imagine that Jesus is saying, I'm not doing my will? How many of us in this place today get caught up to doing our will? It's my will. I want to do this. I want this accomplished. I want to do it this way. It's this way or the highway, whatever we might phrase it out at. But even our Lord was not following and doing his own will. Not my own will. In John 6:38, "For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not my own will." John 8:28 talks about, Jesus says to them, "When you lift or crucify up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things." And you can find more and more scriptures in there in regarding Jesus saying, "It's not me. It's God in me, working through me. I've seen him. I've heard him. He's told me. He showed me. He's instructed me to do this, that, or the other." As it has always been with God, we make that choice as to whether we listen and obey or turn from the things of God. I am so thankful that he's given us the ability to make choices and to choose these things. But boy, I tell you, sometimes it can really create a problem in a person's life. Amen. How many problems did I bring on myself because of my desire and kind of pushing through maybe what God was telling me to do or not to do, or direct me, or what to say or not to say. And then I put my foot in my mouth, and now you've got to backpedal, you got to ask for forgiveness, you got to apologize, whatever the case might be. It could be with a family friend or a family member or a friend, a co-worker, things that are, you know, said that you wish you could call back. But I'm thankful as well when that hits me, that boy, I didn't do or handle that right. On one hand, but on the other hand, it's like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you love me enough, you care for me enough, that you're willing to tell me that hurt you. And I don't want to hurt you. I want to honor you, and I want to obey you. I want to glorify you. I want to follow you and do the things like what I read in the Word about Jesus doing these things to honor and glorify you. And that was not edifying to God. That what I said or didn't say or didn't do or do or whatever the case may be, it didn't honor and bring glory to him. And by that of the Holy Spirit, he tenderly got a hold of me. And in my spirit, it began to draw on me or gnaw on me. And I began to think about it and think about it and then correct it the best way that I could. I'm thankful that he does those things because it's only helping me stay in line with him. By his correcting of me, it tells me that he what? Loves me. Don't we hear that in the natural when we hear of kids that are just out there and just not listening and obeying and things of that nature? And then you come to find out the kids are really crying out for what? Attention. Affection. Whatever the case might be, but they're acting out these things, and rather than correct them, we become a friend to them, and we want to let them like us, like a friend, and we don't want to take that step as a parent. But we've got to do that. And my daddy God, my father God in heaven, he's my father, and he's going to correct me. Does he correct you? In a loving way, in a gentle way, in a way that is able to be taken and worked on, you know? And so by that correction, I find love in correction, because he loves me enough to say, Tim, you've got to stop that. Tim, you've got to change that. Tim, you shouldn't do that. Tim, Tim, Tim. And I say, yes, God. Yes, Lord. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. So let's determine to obey the Lord. Have your will align with his will, and then you will receive the understanding of the word. You know, when you're not lined up and your will is not his will type thing, and you're tugging back and forth, what usually happens? Well, number one, he always wins. But number two, it's like that of like a tug of war. We're giving, we're taking, we're pulling, and this, and we're that, and we're discouraged, and we're upset, and then we're depressed, and then we're wondering this and wondering that, and we just don't understand what's going on. Admit it when you blow it. Ask for forgiveness. But above all things, love Jesus. Love God. Love the Holy Spirit. Keep them in your life. Keep them on the forefront, amen? Not behind us. John 7:16. John 7:16. Heavenly scholars are questioning him. How does he know this? Look at this in 7:10. But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but was there in secret. And then the Jews sought him at the feast, and they said, where is he? And there was much complaining among the people concerning him. Some said, well, he is good. Others said, no, on the contrary, he deceives the people. Verse 13, however, no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple, and he taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? Jesus answered them and said, what? My doctrine is not mine, but he who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. Those intent on doing God's will accept the claims and the teachings from that of Jesus. When we talk about the letters in verse 15, how does this man know letters, having never studied? Letters refers here not to the basic ability of reading and writing, but to Jesus' knowledge and understanding of the Scriptures. Their puzzlement was over Jesus' extraordinary knowledge without having studied at one of the prestigious and official schools in that time. Could you imagine how that blows that whole thought process? How did you know these things? The best teacher you can have is that of the Holy Spirit. The one that you want to be led by is that of the Holy Spirit. You can read different letters. You can read, you know, commentarial things and things of man and whatnot. But to just sit here and to just read a scripture or two and then just allow the Spirit to open it up to you, and usually it'll speak into some area of your life that maybe you're going through, usually at that time or that you're experiencing, and it just kind of sheds light on it, so it kind of helps you understand. And it puts things into perspective. The Holy Spirit will put things into perspective. Those things that come up that frustrate us sometimes, you know what? In the scheme of things, it's like it's just a blink of the eye in some respects that some of the things that we allow to frustrate us, to keep us frustrated for days, maybe hours, days, weeks. There's things, you know, even this past week of having some things done at the house and all, and I looked at it, and it's like there's one area that I didn't want it done that way, and it was done that way, and now it's done, and I don't want to redo it. And it's like, if it could only have been moved over 10 inches, 10 inches is kind of like what I was looking at. We had a fence put in the back area there, just around the garage of the house and both sides, and also the area is kind of fenced in the area back there. It's good for dogs. It's good for kids. I don't know. I it'll keep us in, too, as we get older, so we don't roam around the neighborhood, I guess, too. But as I looked at it just the other day, I go, what? Why didn't I notice that until I move it in just 10 inches this way to give a little more leeway on the driveway of opening doors? And I festered on that thing for a little bit, you know? And then I finally thought, what? Why do it? Why keep? It's done. Unless you want to pay extra to tear it out and move it over. I don't want to do that. But it's those things, it's like, you know, okay, it's done. Oh, well, it didn't end the world. It's okay. It'll survive. It'll work. It'll work. But it's not working to what I wanted it to do. It's not what I had precisely thought and even in my thoughts and put on my own piece of paper how I wanted it done. And then they come out and they got a drawing. Yeah, that's good. Right inside each one of these. Yeah. And, of course, it happens to be on a day that's Thursday, snowing. Who wants to be outside watching these guys work when I can be inside where it's warm? And it's like, oh my, yay, you know. Give it over to the Lord. What difference does it make? Is it going to change anything? No. But, see, those are those things that, that's kind of a crazy thing to think about, but those are those little things that kind of get into you during the week when things are going in your life and this and that, and even though you might have thought you had it planned, you didn't fulfill that plan because you forgot to mention it to that person and this thing, and then it's like, oh, it's too late now. So I just take a deep breath and drive and go, okay, Lord, it's over. Let's go on to something else. The time that I spent frustrating over it should have been the time that I spent worshiping my Lord and praising Him. But the world does these things to us. It really has a good way of getting into us to sidetrack us and to take us off course. And if it's, even if you're off course for, I'm going to tell you, even if I'm off course, kind of crazy, but 2 hours, so to speak, of fulfilling the things of God, that's bad. You mean we ought to be like that of just a precise missile. We ought to just know what we're doing and the Lord is leading us. And but you know what happens? It gets back to that thing. Even though I love Him, even though I worship Him and I'm following Him, this thing of will of me is just like, after a while, I wish I could just cut that out of me sometimes. Anybody ever want to cut out the will of you? You know? But no, that won't work because God put that in us for a purpose and a reason. Because as I go against my will and do His will, it shows Him how much I love Him. Because He's saying, wow, Tim, you could have done this or that or stopped that or do this or whatever the case is, but you're following my will for your life, my will for the situation, my will for the day, whatever the case might be. And it honors and glorifies Him. I had a lot of talk with Him this last couple of days, and out here yesterday for a while, trying to update or change a light. Oh, what? Here's the funny thing, guys. It starts out really simple. A light burned out. A light bulb burned out. I cannot believe this. By the time I got done messing with this light bulb, it was an hour and a half, and it hadn't been fixed yet. I said, you have got to be kidding me, Lord. This is ridiculous. A light bulb. Who? How much brains does it take to zoom in, zoom out? You know, righty-tighty, lefty-loosey. So, and then here's a really good thing. I had to come back and do it. Maybe it was yesterday when that hour and a half or the Friday when I was doing it. I finally got the things in and did, and it was on. And then I did something. I bumped something, and it went boom. I go, man, this thing was replaced, and I hit it, and I just turned it on and blew it. The filament just got hit the right way and it went out. Now I'm in the dark again. Oh, God and me have a lot of fun out here. It's like, oh, what am I doing? Lord. And so look at that. Now I'm talking about it. There's a light burned out right there. That'll be fixed this week. Remember one Sunday I had a bulb like, I don't know if it's that one or the one up there, I tried to do that, and the whole thing came out, and Tracy at the time, we had to get the 12-foot ladder out Sunday morning before service and go over there and fix that light. It's like, this thing's hanging out. What's going on? But anyway, it's these lights up here that are in these tracks. And I'm going, this is not good. I'm all alone. And if I get dizzy, if I do wacky things and I fall, I don't know, I guess, what? And I tested, after a while, I'm just like, I'm going up and down the ladder going, Lord, I'm not testing you. I'm not testing you, Lord. You know, I'm not, you know, placing angels around me. I'll trust you, Lord. But, you know, there was a point in time, after a while, it's like, I feel like enough is enough and it's not fixed. I'm coming down. We'll come back later. So I left the ladder out here Friday and came out here yesterday and it was still here. And anyway, but these things happen in life that just frustrate you. It's like, I want to accomplish it. Amen. I want to accomplish these things that are set before me in the day-to-day whatever. But I also need to realize I need to listen to God. And when I'm going through some of these times, even though I might be frustrated, even though I might be like, oh, you know, boiling here, I've got to be thinking of God and saying, God, help me. God, how hard can this be, Lord, you know? But I think it's those times, I know it's, you know, we read those things like, sometimes if you're not going through a difficult situation, you'll never talk to God. And when we go through life, sometimes people say, well, I just haven't heard from God, and he's not speaking to me. And it's like, well, when was the last time you spoke to him? When was the last time you took time out of your schedule to say, hey, God, thank you. I love you. You're awesome. You're a good, good father. But we get wrapped into the world, and we get wrapped into our things that we want to accomplish and do, and before you know it, the day goes by, the days go by, the week goes by, and now it's like I think we look at how fast the time is flying as it is, kind of look at that in the scope of, we've meant to do these things for God, and now all of a sudden, 6 months later, we're still here, and we haven't done these things for God because we keep saying, I'll do it for you, but we never take that jump. That leap of faith, that we being devoted to him and all. I want to do your thing, Lord. I want to follow you. But we got to make sure it's not on my timetable. It's got to be his timetable. And his timetable will probably mess up your timetable. And you're going to have to lay your stuff down, amen. You're going to have to put the things that you want to do, things that you want to accomplish. And you know what? They're not as important as accomplishing the things for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we got to get to that point saying, you know, this stuff that I'm doing right now is just temporal. It's temporary. It doesn't mean squat into my destiny as far as the things of working in the world and getting this accomplished and all of these things that take up our thoughts and our attention. Because we think so much of those things that we lose track of our Heavenly Father and the things that He has for us. The time that He wants us just to sit still, just to be still before me. Be still. My sheep know my still voice. My sheep know me. And he knows his sheep. As we look at this, finishing up in John 12:44, it says, then Jesus cried out in John 12. Look at this. This is wrapping it up here. 12:44. And then Jesus cries out and he says, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. If I'm looking at 37 to 50 as a footnote to that, we're finding out, but although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, and the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. And it spoke this, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, and lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that they would heal, that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Walking in the light, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praises of men more than the praise of God. We will do anything and everything in our power to garner up the praise of man, but we won't do hardly anything at times to garden up the praise of God, to where God says, well done, good and faithful servant. Apart from the trial of Jesus, these were the master's last words addressed to a public broader than the circle of his disciples. We can sense the finality of these words that are making in his last appeal, where he is saying this: "He who believes in me believes not in me, but he who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Verse 49, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak." Verse 50, "And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Jesus is not going to judge you. The Father in heaven will judge you, but it'll be judged by the words that Jesus spoke, because Jesus speaks the words of God the Father. And so that's what his judgment of God, when God makes judgment on these things, it's going to be like, "Weren't you told? Weren't you noticed? Weren't you put on notice of these things?" And we won't be able to say, "Well, I didn't know." But it's important that we look at our obedience. Just be obedient. If anything else, just be obedient. Amen? Be obedient. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, 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 Father. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, of the time that we've had. We love you. And we ask, Lord, that you would use more of us, Lord, as we really dedicate more of ourselves to you, Father. You will use what we allow you to use, Lord. So I pray that day by day, Lord, that we get to that point to where there is so much more of you in us than us. As Paul would share, Lord, is, "I must decrease, Lord, so that you can increase, Lord." We ask that to happen in our lives, that you would increase greatly in these days now. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your message. We thank you for being with us. Lead us and guide us. Speak to us through that of the Holy Spirit. We love you.